Okay, the Bible scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 to 31. Okay, there's another one there. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So is it with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you as a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Winnie, for standing in for your children. I guess that's what a parent should do, huh? When your children are in need of help, the parent just steps up and stands in. And also, I want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship. The praise part of the service lately has been very good. Helps us to lift up our hearts and our voices to praise the Lord, and that is wonderful. And I hope that we could keep it up. And so every Sunday when we come into the house of the Lord, we'll be able to really praise God, praise the name of the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. In the following time, let us worship the Lord with the message, and let us come before the Lord and ask him to bless the following time, shall we? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this hour of worship, for this time when your people can come into your house to praise your name, to give thanks to you. And we thank you for leaving us with your precious word. And as we open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31 this morning, we pray that you continue to illumine our minds and our hearts so that we can truly understand what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, once again, we ask you to give us a teachable spirit, give us humility to receive your word and apply your word to our everyday lives. And we pray that you will guide us and speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, the psalmist King David once said, "The human body is fearfully and wonderfully made. It is the masterpiece of God Almighty." I want to ask you some questions. Do you know how many cells there are in a human body, an adult human body? How many cells there are? Well, I guess you have to jog your memory and recall your biology lesson in high school. So you know how many? Well, there are 10 trillion cells. Okay, that's a lot of cells, right? And you know how many bones? Now, this one is easier. How many bones there are in an adult body? You remember? What? Okay, there are 206 pieces of bones, right? Okay, and how many pieces of muscles? We are, you know, especially those who pump iron, right? You guys are muscular. But no matter how muscular you are, you still have the same number of muscles. How many pieces? Now, we got a very husky guy here, Justin. Okay, now there are 600 pieces of muscles, all right? And now, you know, we have many organs, right? And organ systems. If you study biology, you should know that, physiology, right? And I'm talking about internal organs, organs inside. You don't see. How many there are? There are 22. There are 22. And just like, you know, the heart, the lungs, right? The spleen, the liver, the kidneys, right? Okay? But who knows what the largest organ of the human body is? The brain? The skin, that's right. We seldom think of the skin as an organ, right? But actually, it is the largest organ of a human body. You know that in every square inch of skin, you know how many cells there are? There are 19 million cells. Wow, that's a lot of cells. So go home and use a, you know, magnifying glass and see if you can see that many cells, all right? And so it is really appropriate to say that the human body is one heck of a complex machine, right? Okay? And in this morning's passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31, the Apostle Paul describes the church as the body of Jesus Christ. And every member, every Christian in the church is a member of this body. Now, Paul uses this analogy to state one a truth, and that is believers of Jesus Christ must be united together in serving the Lord, must be united together in using the gifts that God has given to them. Now, as our brother Lucas, is Lucas here this morning? Oh, good, okay. That means I could repeat some of the things he said last Sunday. Now, as our brother Lucas mentioned last Sunday, in the church of Corinth, there were a group of Christians who believed that they were superior to other brothers and sisters in the church because they were able to speak in tongues. Because they possessed this gift, they thought that they could look down on other people. And as a result, they caused factions. they caused divisions in the church. And so the Apostle Paul uses chapter 12 to teach this important truth, and that is believers must be united in Christ. Believers must work together to serve the church. The church needs teamwork. We must use our gifts so that we can build up the body of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, we learn about this. The Apostle Paul points out that there is only one Spirit, the same Spirit, who dispenses, who grants, gives different gifts to different people, so that we can serve the one Lord, the same Lord Jesus Christ. And even though there are different gifts, different ways of using the gifts, there is only one God. And the phrase here, it is the same God at work. Work here, I think Lucas mentioned that last Sunday, is in Greek it means energy or energize. It is God who energizes all believers of Jesus Christ to use the spiritual gifts to build up the body of Jesus Christ. And in this passage this morning, the Apostle Paul, he cut to the chase right away. Right off the bat, he said in verse 12 to 13. I invite you to read these two verses together, all right? Now, please join me. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Yeah, that's right. In these two short verses, Paul uses the word one altogether five times to underscore the importance of unity, the importance of togetherness in Christ. And he also mentioned baptized by one Spirit. That means the moment a person becomes a believer of Jesus Christ, he is saved. He is born again by through the working of the Holy Spirit. And also he mentioned the one Spirit to drink. That means the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit would indwell us, dwell in us. And this is just like what Jesus Christ says in his gospel, John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. Jesus Christ says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus Christ had not yet been glorified. And so, you know, when we believe in Jesus Christ, the Spirit will dwell in us. Now, in these two verses, verse 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul has given us a very a special reminder. Why? Well, it is because here in the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, our brothers and sisters come from different places. They all have different backgrounds. Many of us, maybe not so much in the English service, but in the Chinese services, many of us, before we came into the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, we were already worshiping in a different church of a different denomination. And some of us were even Christians already when we were in Hong Kong. And I believe some of your parents were Christians already when they were in Hong Kong. Just out of curiosity, this morning in the first Chinese service, I asked the same questions. Out of curiosity, who worshipped in the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church before coming to this church? Anybody? Yeah, see? Okay. The Baptist Church? Anybody? Yeah, Joanna. And what about the Evangelical Free Church? The Free Church? Nobody? Okay, but anyway, Some of us, maybe now I see May there. May, you used to worship in the Anglican Church, right? Okay. Now, we all believe in the same Jesus Christ. We all hold up the Bible. We all believe in the basic truth. And yet, because we used to live in a different church before, and so when we come into this church, we tend to bring whatever we have learned or whatever we have acquired in the former church into this church. The way we look at things, our perspectives, the way we do things, our style and all that. I may come in some kind, we may cause some sort of friction when we work together with brothers and sisters in this church because we are all different. But here Paul reminds us that we should do our utmost to keep our unity in Christ Jesus our Lord. But still, there are two possible ways, two potential ways that could get in the way of our unity in Jesus Christ. The first is inferiority or self-debasement. The second is superiority or arrogance. In verse 12 to 20, the Apostle Paul reminds us, teaches us not to feel inferior, not to debase ourselves, not to underestimate our importance in this body of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 21 to 26, he reminds us not to be arrogant, not to be too proud, to overestimate, to overemphasize our importance in the body of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 14, he says, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." With this verse, the Apostle Paul points out one fact, and that is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is, I may say, made up of multiple members, multifaceted. It is not uniform, but it is diverse. And so every member in this body of Jesus Christ is important. However, it is obvious that amongst the Corinthian Christians, there were some who felt that they did not measure up to other people because they felt that the gifts, the spiritual gifts that they possessed were not as powerful, were not as good as the others, such as those who knew how to speak in tongues. And so, as a result of that kind of feeling, they felt inferior. They questioned their value in the body of Jesus Christ. They felt that they did not belong to this community of believers. And they felt that, well, whether I exist or not doesn't really matter. And so, Paul, you know, uses different analogies to help these Christians. He uses the feet and the hands and the ears and the eyes as examples to help these Christians who feel inferior to understand that the body of Jesus Christ needs to work together. Every part has its own function. Lacking anyone would spell trouble. Even though the foot or the feet are not as skillful or as able as the hands, hands can do many things. But without the feet, the two feet, our body would be in trouble. Just think, if you had only four hands, right? No feet. How are you going to walk? You may be able to walk just for a short while, and then after a while, you would what? You would feel tired. You might not even be able to balance yourself, and you would tumble very easily. And let me fill you in. You know, in every human foot, all right? You know how many bones there are every human foot? Benson, do you know? You study kinesiology, so you should know. Kinesiology should tell you that, right? Okay? Yeah. Now, every foot has 26 pieces of bones. And how many joints join all these bones together? 33. All right? And how many muscles? 20. And you know how many ligaments that tie everything together so that your foot can flex, can turn, can, you know, twist or whatever? 100. Well, think about that, you know? One little foot like that is so complicated. But any part of it, for example, you sprain your foot, right? Any part. You would have difficulty in walking. Now, recently, there is this treatment. I see Auntie Jessie sitting at the back, called foot reflexology, right? And that study shows that the foot is very important, especially, you know, if there is some problem in the bottom of your foot, it is an indication that there is something wrong with one of your internal organs. Now, you can go to talk to Auntie Jessie, she knows a lot about this. And so, yeah, the foot is important, right? And about the comparison between the ears and the eyes, from time to time, we hear people say, especially we live in mainly a Caucasian country, right? We see our Caucasian friends, from time to time we will hear people say, wow, he or she has beautiful eyes, right? Or maybe Chinese people too, right? But we seldom hear people say, wow, he has got beautiful ears, right? But from time to time we might hear people say, oh, well, he has got monkey ears, right? Yeah. But you know, even though ears are seldom noticed or not that noticeable, without ears, we'll become what? Deaf, right? We could hear nothing. And without ears, we would not be able to balance ourselves. And our inner ear, the cochlea, is the most important balancing system in the entire body, right? If something wrong with that, then you will lose your balance. Now, who has had that kind of problem before? In Chinese, we say the fluid inside the inner ear, right? When it's out of whack, then what happened to you? It happened to me before. You would feel that the whole room is spinning around you. And I wasn't able to stand up. I would have to crawl on all four, even when I wanted to go to the washroom. All right? It's a very terrible feeling. So ear is just as important. And Paul uses these two examples to point out that the body of Jesus Christ is made up of multiple different kinds, diverse members of, members. And so in verse 17, he uses a rather ridiculous example. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Everybody in the body of Jesus Christ is the same, equal. You know, we all are given different gifts, and we all have different strengths, and we are equally important in the sight of God. Now, who determines what gifts that we should possess? Well, Paul says in verse 18 to 20 that it is the Lord, or God, who exercises his sovereignty. He gives us gifts according to his will, so that different body parts or different members would be placed in the church, and all these members would be working together to build up the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses these two verses not just to state that God is sovereign, but to show that God has wisdom, He knows how to design the body of Jesus Christ. And if there is only one member of the same kind, if there is only one gift of the same kind, how can these gifts, so-called members, work together? Because you have only one. There is only one. You can never build up the body of Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord that we are all different, and yet we are all of the same body. And so, brothers and sisters, you belong to the body of Jesus Christ when you become a Christian. And you are an important member of the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. You may be just a pair of feet. You may be just a pair of ears. Or you may be just a body part which is seldom noticeable. But remember, in the sight of God, you are important. You know, God has given you different gifts so that He expects you. You may use that kind of gift to serve Him and to work together with other people in unity and in harmony to build up the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. You don't need to compare yourself, your gifts, with other people's. You may not be as good-looking as other people's, just like Pastor Paul, right? But so long as you apply yourself, so long as you do your utmost for God's highest, God will be pleased. You know, God appreciates, God looks up on a person who is good and faithful servant in His kingdom. I just want to give a couple of examples. For example, every first Sunday, we celebrate the communion, right? And we have the bread and the grape juice. And also every Sunday, we have, you know, a pot of beautiful flowers or a vase of beautiful flowers on the communion table. Who puts them there? Did they have legs and walk on the table and say, well, you guys are going to break the bread, you guys are going to drink the grape juice, and so we show up? No. There are aunties working faithfully. Every time there is communion, every Sunday there is a service. They work behind the scene, faithfully, you know, regardless of the weather, whether there is a good day like today or a snow like other days, they are very faithful. But who in this room, in this sanctuary, know who they are? Do you know who they are? You don't. But they serve the Lord, and they serve you. And we give thanks to God for them. And also, in this past Sunday, Monday, the Vancouver Chinese Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship, all the members, many members, not all, came to our church to hold their regular monthly meeting. And they invited the guest speaker, one of the founders of Regent College, Dr. James Houston. He came to talk about the role of retirees, the role of elderly people in the church. You know, the retirees and the elderly people have knowledge, they have wisdom, they have experience in life, and they have skills to contribute to the well-being of any church. And we thank God that here in the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, there are many elderly people. You know, they diligently come to the Sunday service, to Sunday school. They attend their fellowship meetings. They, you know, go to Bible study, and they take part in different kinds of services, ministries in the church. And also, they actively take part in the devotional milestone, you know, that big chart at the back. You know, on average, in every month, on average, you know, how many percentage of Caleb, that is the senior fellowship, Caleb fellowship members, take part in reading the Bible, in praying to God, in doing their devotion? You know what the percentage is? is very high, close to 90%. Every week, out of, 7 days, at least they do it 4 days. Wow, that's wonderful. I will give thanks to God for every elderly person in our church. You know, in Chinese, there is a saying, right? If a family has an elderly person, that family has a gemstone. 家有一老，如有一寶. It is so true. And so let us, follow the example of these elderly people. They may be your grandparents. They may be just your grand aunts or grand uncles, but they have given us a wonderful example. Let us show them respect too, all right? And every member is important in this church. Now, having encouraged the Christians who feel inferior, Paul goes on to verse 21 to 26 to remind those, to warn those who think that they are full of themselves. You know, don't ever overestimate your importance in the body of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says this in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, Paul warns those arrogant, those haughty, those proud, those full of themselves, Christians, don't ever think a moment that because you are able to speak in tongues, then you are superior to other people in the church. You are not. I don't know if you notice. Every time Paul mentions the gift of speaking in tongues or the gift of interpreting tongue, Brother Lucas mentioned that last time. When he lists a list of spiritual gifts, the gift of speaking in tongue, the gift of interpreting tongues, always what? Come at last, right? They are the last ones to be mentioned. Now, it seems that Paul wants to tell the Corinthian Christians, knowing how to speak in tongues is not really that big a deal. People who know how to do it, they should not be proud. People who don't know how to do it, they should not feel inferior. Now, once there was this famous Arturo Toscanini. He's a famous conductor, a famous musician. He's a maestro. Right? Once he was rehearsing this concert with a female soloist at the New York Metropolitan Opera House. And during the rehearsal, he pointed out to the female soloist that she should pay attention to certain parts of the song. But this female soloist thought, wow, I am the star of the concert. I know what I am doing. And so she refused to accept the suggestion, and she was being proud. But Toscanini, he was very calm, and he firmly responded to that kind of remark. He said, madam, in this concert, there is no big star. There is no one who is the star. Now, Toscanini pointed out one very important point, and that is whether it is the soloist, whether it is the choir members, whether it is the musicians in the orchestra, everybody has to work together in order to put on a magnificent show to entertain the audience. And it's the same in the church. Now, every believer has got different gifts. We have different positions of ministry. There is no big star. There is no extra. There is no supporting actress or actors. Everybody must work well together in order to serve the Lord, in order to build up the body of Jesus Christ. Now, there is this airline pilot by the name of Alan Cockrell. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee. One night, he wanted to go home from the airport. And one of the ground crew, the ground staff, said, I could take you home, but you have to wait because I have to clean up the cabin of the 737. You have to wait. Now, Alan Cockrell wanted to go home very quickly, very fast. And so what did he do? He rolled up his sleeves and he joined the ground crew to clean the cabin of the airplane. And when he was cleaning luggage cabin up, above the overhead cabin, above the seat, and also the trays in front of the seat, and also when he put all the seat belts together, suddenly he began to appreciate the work of the entire crew of an airplane. An airplane is not just about flying from point A to point B. An airplane, if it's going to fly, needs a lot of people, a lot of staff working together so that this flight can take off. And so Alan Cockrell learned to appreciate not just the stewardesses or the stewards, but the ground staff, everybody who worked behind the scene. We passengers don't even know who these people are. Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Everybody is important in the sight of God, because it is God who has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And therefore, Paul goes on in verse 22 and to 24, he says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. God did that so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern, equal care for each other. And Paul continues in verse 26. It's a well-known verse. Let us read it together. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Yes, it is so true. Brothers and sisters, in general, we are able to share people's sufferings. We are able to share people's pains. When somebody is sick, we go visit the person. We earnestly pray for the person. When somebody is downhearted, we go to cheer the person up. We try to make the person happy. But when somebody is honored, it seems to be a different story. We seem to be unable to share the person's joy. Probably because, we feel jealous. Probably because we feel envious. Or probably because we feel inferior to the person. Oh, wow, what a guy. He got that kind of honor. And look at me. I'm right down, at the totem pole. I like to attend my children's school concert. Now, all my children are Felix and Fidelia, they are in high university now. But when they were still attending high school, I like to attend their school concerts. I usually would pay attention to the elderly people, those grandmas and grandpas sitting in the front row. When the concert was over, they would clap their hearts out, wow! And then they would stand up and they walk up to the students, most of them maybe their grandchildren, right? They would say, wow, what a good job, you guys. I'm proud of you, right? I hope that here in the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, we would nurture that kind of culture of appreciation, nurture that kind of culture of giving thanks. You know, let us try to break through, especially your moms and dads, right? That's what I said in the first service this morning. Let us, you know, try to break through that kind of reservedness, that kind of, you know, shyness in the Chinese culture. Let us really, you know, express ourselves. Let us say, oh, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. Especially when people are honored. Let us share their joy. And so at this moment, I want you to think, who is that Sunday school teacher? Who is that Bible study leader? Who is that group leader who deserves a pat on the back? Who deserves a thank you card? Who deserves a vote of thanks? If you think of that person after the service, walk up to that person and say thank you heartily. You know, you mean it. Now, the Apostle Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Dr. A.W. Tozer, a well-known person in the Christian churches and also a very famous leader of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, he wrote a book by the name of The Pursuit of God. And in one of the few lines, he said something like this. I paraphrased that. He said, if 100 pianos are tuned to the same tuning fork, then they would have the same tune. They can play harmoniously. They are able to, you know, they can be played harmoniously because, not because they are tuned to one another, but because they are tuned to the same tuning fork, to the same standard. He said, by the same token, if 100 believers of Jesus Christ gathered together, are focusing their minds, their thoughts, their hearts on Jesus Christ, then the distance between them will become shorter and shorter. And the differences between them will become smaller and smaller. So brothers and sisters, let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And let us work together to build up the body of Jesus Christ here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. And I pray that next year, as the church begins another year of ministry, there will be many more people stepping up. You may say, well, you know, I'm just a student. I am still, you know, studying. Or I haven't even got a job yet. How am I going to, you know, take part? Well, you know, pray to God. God has given you at least one gift. Ask God to see how you can use that gift. And many of you are using the gifts already. You know, many of you will go to the children's ministry later on, right, to teach the children's Sunday school or to help with the children's worship. But I hope that many more people will come out of this English service, will step up to join in the service. You know, next year, the theme of our ministry comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the slogan of our theme is, shine for Jesus. And I hope that, you know, it's not just the pastors, it's not just the deacons, it's not just the department heads, not just the Bible study leaders, but everybody in this church will truly rise up and shine for Jesus, because he is the head of this body, because he is worthy of our service. So brothers and sisters, do not let anybody tell you, I'm just, you know, too young, I'm just too small, I'm a new believer, I don't know much. But in the sight of God, you are important. God has equipped you with a gift, and you can use that gift to serve the Lord. It could be in music, gift in teaching, gift in organizing, gift in doing whatever, something that may not even be that prominent, but God can use you to help everybody to build up this body of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us sing a song, all right?